Title of the message is Daniel Believed in His God. Daniel chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. And I'm going to give you just a short little background previous to where we begin reading, okay? Daniel is facing, well, what I would consider a crisis, because there has been a decree passed by the king for all the subjects in the kingdom that anyone who petitions or prays or makes request of any god, or of any man for that matter, be cast into the lion's den. And that's the last thing that we find when we pick up verse 10. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that this writing had been signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or any man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered, and said before the king, I love the way they say this. They answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he had heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command. They brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now, the king went to his place, to his palace, and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now, the message of chapter 6 is summed up in one verse, and that one verse is verse 23, where it says, So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. That phrase right there explains the entire chapter. He believed in his God. Now, to put it in our language, that word believe means to be reliable or to be trustworthy. And in our language, we'd say Daniel completely trusted his God. He knew there could be absolutely no situation where his God would abandon him. Everything about Daniel in this chapter says, I trust in my God. And we start with the first aspect of his life. As a matter of fact, we're going to back up to the first part of this chapter. And we're going to talk about Daniel trusting God with his profession. Now, Darius, in the first part of this chapter, it says that Darius had set 120 satraps in place who were supervised by three governors. To put again, so we understand, the 120 satraps would kind of be like a governor and three presidents that were overseeing these governors. All right? And the reason that this organization had been made was because, or so that the king would suffer no loss. And again, so that we understand it, the king could not trust the men, his government leaders. Sound familiar? He couldn't trust the men he put in charge. But then there was Daniel. This guy Daniel was absolutely different. As a matter of fact, in verse 3 of this same chapter, it says that Daniel had a spirit of excellence within him. He was a man of character, a man of integrity, a man of honesty. All that Daniel did was out of loyalty to his king. And the other governors, they couldn't stand that. He made them look bad. Even the king, Darius, had planned to make Daniel head over the entire group because he knew there was one guy that he could trust. And the other governors and satraps hated Daniel for it. I guess he would be considered the teacher's pet, maybe, right? He was the guy that never did anything to compromise his integrity. So the other guys, hating Daniel so bad, they began to plot against him. They said, we got to get rid of this guy. He's too honest. He's making us look bad. We got to get rid of this guy. So they began to plan. They began to look at Daniel's life. And you know what they found? They could find nothing in the life of Daniel where they could accuse him before the king. Absolutely no fault, no error was found in this Daniel because he was faithful. He was steadfast. He was permanent. He was trustworthy. And you know, I got to thinking about that part. You know what made Daniel stand out? In this story, we look at Daniel and we think, boy, he had an important job. He was a governor. He was one of the top three in the entire kingdom. But you know what? It wasn't the job that Daniel had that made him stand out. It was the job that Daniel did that made him stand out. Does that make sense? You see, in our culture today, it seems to be so important. And you won't visit with somebody 15 minutes before you ask them, what do you do for a living? And when somebody says, oh, I'm a doctor, what do you think? Wow, this guy's somebody. Amen. I mean, isn't that the way we think? We think when somebody asks, well, I have my doctorate degree in, and you can fill in the blank, we think, wow, this guy's somebody. But you know what? I've come to the conclusion it don't matter what job you have, it matters how you do your job. You realize God puts you where you are? You know? God has, in His infinite wisdom, has a plan for your life. And you are where you are right now because God has you there. And there are a lot of I laugh at, you know, we think if we don't have it, I want that important job. I want to be the top of the ladder. I want to be the head of a corporation. I've even heard some of our young people, or some young people, I'm not going to say ours, but I've heard some young people say, well, I'm not going to flip burgers, as though they're above that. There's nothing wrong with being a burger flipper. I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners in college. Now top that. You know? It's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's the integrity that you have as you do the job that God has placed you in. Daniel was special. And he stood out from everybody because of the job that he had. In the job that he had integrity. And if there's one thing that we need in the United States of America today, it is integrity. It is people who will do the right thing, no matter what. People who refuse to cheat their job or their boss. People who refuse to cheat their customers. People who will do what's right so that when somebody looks at them, they can look and say, wow, that's a man of integrity. See, that's what made Daniel stand out. Daniel wasn't this kind of a God-fearing religious man that only applied his religion when it was convenient. He practiced it. He practiced it where he worked. And we also have the concept, well, you know, my religious beliefs are one thing, but my works are completely something else, and we need to keep my religion and my works separate. No. No, where the world says you need to keep your faith separate from your work, they don't know what they're asking. Because if I take my faith, I'm a mean old sinner that'll do just about anything. You don't want that guy on your job, right? Daniel practiced his faith, believed his God in his profession. Number two, Daniel believed his God in daily prayer. You see, knowing that no charge could be brought against Daniel, these guys who were plotting against Daniel, they decided that the only way we're going to catch this guy is if we find something concerning his God. So they come to the king and they have this great idea. And I love the way it builds it up. It says they throng before the throne. And they say, king, we've got a great idea. King says, what is it? We think it would be good for you to enact a law or sign a law that anyone who petitions any god or any man for the next 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den. Any man except you, of course. So that makes the king say, that makes me important. And so the king signs it into law. The problem was, Daniel was his favorite guy in his whole government, right? And the king never, you know, thinks about this applying to Daniel. So he signs it into law. And it's a law that once it's signed, it cannot be changed. Right? Once they enacted a law, it could not be changed. And I love this part. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and opened his window. And three times that day, he prayed, as was his custom since early days. I love that in verse 10. That was his custom since early days. And that word petition, it carries the idea of seeking favor of someone. So Daniel finds out, okay, they've signed the law. I'm going home. I get on my knees. I open my windows and I get on my knees and I seek the favor of God. And you know what I think? Daniel was not demonstrating. He wasn't. He was doing what he had done since he was old enough to know to do it. Right? He was not rebelling against the king. Daniel had spent his entire life seeking God. And so a decree by the king would not change that pattern that he had set in his life. You know what the difference between religion and relationship is? You see, I want you to understand what Victory Baptist Church is about. Victory Baptist Church is not about getting you religion. We don't need any more religion. We need relationship with God. Okay? You see, religion will bring you on to church on Sunday. But then you'll forget about it until next Sunday. Religion will cause you to pray when you come to church, but then you'll forget about it till next Sunday. You see, you don't need that. You need a relationship where day by day you walk in the presence of Almighty God, realizing without Him you are absolutely nothing. Relationship that is so consistent that if somebody wants to accuse you, they know they can go to your practice of your relationship with your God and find you consistent there. You see, here's what I want you to get. There's a lot of time we get really religious. When somebody tells us you can't do something, what are we going to do? I'll show you. I'll do it. Go ahead. Say I can't. I'll do it. Even to my own hurt. Not Daniel. Daniel, praying the day that decree was signed just like he did every other day. Let me tell you something. If you wait until there's opposition before you start practicing your faith, you've waited too long. Okay? As a matter of fact, what you've done is you've just started rebelling. Daniel wasn't rebelling. He was practicing his relationship with his God. It's funny as I watched. And I don't bring this up to be, well, whatever it is, okay? I'm going to bring it up. A couple of years ago, y'all know Ken Worthing. He's a good guy. When he's not, he can't help it, right? I love you, brother. But a couple of years ago, you know, Ken, he passes out gospel tracts everywhere. And every year at the Christmas parades, buddy, you know, he leads out and saturates the area in gospel tracts. And I praise God for it. Well, a couple of years ago, he was told that he couldn't pass out gospel tracts at the Russellville Christmas Parade. And he and I spoke about it. We come up with a plan. He wouldn't set up a booth, but he was still going to pass out the tract because that's what he does. Right? But what amazed me was this. I started getting phone calls. I got calls from the mayor, from city councilmen. I got calls from churches and other pastors. And it was all, we want to know if it's true. If you've been told you cannot pass out tracts, I'll tell them, yeah, it's not a big deal. Well, I want you to know that makes me so angry I can't say. And we go, and for like 2 days, my phone just rung off the wall, and I'm thinking, wow, what's the deal? Everybody was mad because we were told we couldn't do it. You know, they were mad because we were told we couldn't do it. My question is, why'd you get mad if you're not doing it? See, that's the way we are. That's the difference between religion and relationship. Daniel was a 24/7 kind of guy. It didn't matter if it was Wednesday or Saturday. He was honoring his God. Isn't that what we should be? Yeah. We should be practicing our relationship, not rebelling in our religion. And I want to tell you something else. If you don't seek God before the lion's den, You've waited too late once you're in the lion's den. I look at this and boy, I'm amazed. I just see such a consistent guy in the practice of his relationship. Then finally we look at Daniel's divine protection. Here was a man. His accusers are set before him. And they have gone before the king. They know old Daniel's praying. He's doing it in public. This is a problem. And they go back before the king. They say, King, have you not signed a decree? Like they don't know, you know, like they're not sure. They know. Have you not signed a decree to prevent anyone from petitioning any god or any man other than you for the next 30 days? And the king says, why, yes, as a matter of fact, I did sign that. In verse 13, they say, that Daniel, that troublemaker Daniel, he does not honor your decree. He does not honor you. But three times a day, he's seeking his God in prayer. Three times a day. And you know what the king did? It says the king was greatly displeased with himself. He knew he had been had at that point. And so he began to think, how can I get Daniel out of there? How can I deliver this? I don't want Daniel's my best man. I don't want him to be thrown in the lion's den. And he starts to work. And he works on it until the end of the day, sunset. And he can't come up with any way to get Daniel or to save Daniel. You know what's really amazing at this point? Daniel never tried to defend himself. I want you to think about that just a moment. Here's a guy. He's praying. He's doing a good job. He's doing everything right. And he's getting railroaded by a bunch of crooked politicians. And Daniel never stands up and says, wait a minute, this is not right. Wait a minute, y'all can't treat me this way. Wait a minute, you know, I've done good. He never stands up and shouts and tries to defend himself. The king tries to save him, and even the king can't save him. But you never hear Daniel say anything. So, that night, Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. I got to think, Daniel, why didn't you stand up and why didn't you point your finger at these guys and tell the king what they're trying to do? He never defended himself. Does that not go against everything that we are as a culture? You know what I've discovered, though? I have discovered that I have a defense that's far above my own capabilities. I have the God that created this universe. And He is still in control, contrary to what the world thinks. And He's the same God that was Daniel's God back in this day. Did you know He can still lift us up out of the lion's den? He can still deal with the circumstances that are really difficult in this life. He's the same God. He has the same power that He ever had. What I've had to learn to do in ministry is just learn how to trust Him. You see, that's why I've told you before, you know, I figured out I don't argue much anymore. I don't. And the reason is when I'm confronted by people and there's a conflict and they want to argue, I'm not going to do it. And the reason is because when I've argued in the past, you know, you've got to understand, I've been 25 years in ministry, right? When I've argued in the past, it always got me in trouble. I was trying to defend myself. Now I've come to the conclusion, and it's a lot easier, I don't have to argue with people anymore. If you want to be wrong, you can be wrong. Well, maybe not quite. We can all be wrong, right? But what I have discovered is I don't need to defend myself because I answer to God. And I want to tell you something else. You answer to God. I'm not standing up here with some holier-than-thou attitude saying you can't touch. No, I'm saying we answer to God. We don't have to defend ourselves. And guess what? We are called children of God. That means I belong to Him. And I've said this before. You want to make somebody mad, you mess with their children. Right? I mean, you'll ruffle their feathers quick. Huh? Mess with their babies. I mean, it makes me mad when my children are abused. It makes me want to run to the rescue. Really makes Beth mad. Don't mess with her kids. You can mess with her husband. Don't mess with her kids. No. I'm a child of God. He loves me more than I love my children. He loves Beth more than she loves her children. And He's not going to sit in heaven and not take notice of what His children are going through. The Bible declares He is faithful, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. What am I saying? You don't have to fight the battle. God is your battle fighter. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with song I will praise Him. When, you know what I figured out? When I wait on the Lord and let Him fight the battle and let Him deal with it, I at the end of it, when it's all said and done, I can back up and say, "Oh God, praise You for the victory. Not by my hand, but by Yours." I think that's why Daniel didn't say anything. I think he went to that lion's den just as silent as he could be. King was saying, "Daniel, I've done everything I can do. I can't think anything." No problem. And he goes into that lion's den. And the seal, the rock, the stone is rolled over that entrance to that den. That night, it says the king spent the night fasting. He had no musicians brought. Oh, he was scared for Daniel. You know what I think? I think the king was a lot more afraid than Daniel was. Then it says the king rose early the next morning and hurried to the den. And he cried out with a lamenting voice. Have you ever been in that situation that you want to speak, but you're afraid to ask the question because you can't stand the answer? That's the king at this point. The king is saying, Daniel, man, I love you. Daniel, has your God been able to save you from the lion's den? I don't think he was expecting an answer. But as he asked the question, has your God been able? The voice of Daniel rings out in the early morning and says, "Oh king, live forever." It's another thing. He didn't say, "You sorry rascal king, you put me here." He said, "Oh king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth so they have not hurt me. I'm fine," he says. "I used a lion for a pillow last night." I don't know. That's my addition, okay? The point is, he was not hurt. The reason it was not hurt is not because of Daniel's power. It was because of the power of his God. That's where his deliverance came from. So Daniel, it says, was taken up out of the lion's den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Now, we're getting down to the end now. I want to just remind you of this one thing. God is still God. There may be many of you here today that are in the lion's den for whatever reason. And you're just holding on and your fingernails are slipping. I want to tell you that God is still God. All right? Trust Him. He can close the mouth of lions just as good today as He did in Daniel's day. He can deliver you. You do not have to defend yourself. God is still God. And God is always faithful. I was reminded of Romans 8:37. Paul wrote, he said, "Yet in all things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." And we can throw lines in there too. We can't be separated. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. Daniel, verse 23. The last line. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury, whatever, was found on him, because he believed in his God. Today, my question in closing, what do you believe in? We all believe in something. You know, some people believe in their self, and that's what's preached in society. Oh, just believe in yourself and you can do it. And I've been there, done that, tried it, didn't work. Okay? Believe in your fellow man. Been there, done that, tried it, didn't work. Well, I believe in money. You know, money can get me through. Now, I hadn't been there, but I'm sure that don't work either, right? What are you believing in? Is it going to bring you through the test, the next test that you face? If it's not God, you can trust me. You'll fall short. It will not work. Are you a child of God today? Listen, we got to go through this world. We're going through this life. And you know what I've discovered about myself? I'm not real good at it. Okay? I'm not real smart. I'm a country boy from Des Arc, Arkansas. I was a graduate of Des Arc High School, which is not real high on the education ladder, okay? I can't trust myself. I have a seminary degree from Central Arkansas Baptist Institute. You know what I've discovered about that? Not to take away from seminary, but it's worth about the paper that it's written on. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, all I have to trust is my God. Do you have that trust? You're going to go through this life. You're going to face lions, dens, and challenges. Are you going to do it alone? Or are you going to do it with God? The good news is that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave His life so that you might have eternal life. Here's the deal, though. You've got to understand you're a sinner. Okay? Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes all of us here. That includes the balcony, everybody over here, everybody over there, and everybody in between. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For you to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to understand that He, the Son of God, came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died upon the cross of Calvary as your punishment, taking your sins upon Himself. And today He offers you His righteousness in exchange for your sinful condition. What a great trade. Amen. What a great trade. When God says, "Let me take your sin. Let me cast your sin as far as east is from the west, and let me give you my own righteousness." Because that's the only way you can have a relationship with the Holy God. You're here today. You've got to decide who you're going to go through this life with. Choose Jesus. See, not only did Jesus go to the cross of Calvary and die upon that cross, He was buried and He rose again from the grave, and today He's alive and well seated at the right hand of God. Brother Doug, how do you know He rose from the grave? He was seen by 500 witnesses. How many do you need? Yeah? Would you believe me? Would you believe two or three here? He was seen by 500. Who are you going to go through this life with? Life will be much better if you believe in your God and trust Him. Will you come in this invitation? Heavenly Father, Lord, there are people going through this life alone. People going through this life without Jesus Christ. Lord, we can't make it. We know there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we know that to face the challenges of this life, that we need Jesus. And we know that after this life is through, to enter into the heaven, we need Jesus. Father, we need Jesus always. So I pray for those in the service today who are lost. I especially pray for them that they will choose You as their Lord and their Savior today. I pray for those, Lord, that are in the lion's den, that are being attacked, and Lord, in no fault of their own, they're just going through that lion's den period. Lord, I pray that You'd show up, and I know You will. But that Your presence would permeate them and fill them. I pray, Lord, that Your will be done in their situation, so as when they come out of that den, they will see Your mighty hand of deliverance. And I pray, Lord, for every spiritual need in this building today. Some need to be saved. Some need to be baptized. Some need to rededicate their lives. I pray that today there will be a massive turning to You. Now we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.